Communicating with
animals. Paisley Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hello and welcome to the Paisley Penny Arcade. I am Mo Abdelbaki and welcome to the place. How are you? I hope you're doing well. Today is Wednesday, June the 5th of 2024. That's right, 2024. How are you doing? I hope you're doing well. I'm doing excellently, actually. Yeah, doing great. Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. You darn well white. Blah, blah, blah. My goodness, it's hot here today. And yeah, it's been kind of warmish. Unseasonably warm. Well, it's June. June is June. June is... I can't do that. Can't do that because of ASCAP rules, and I'm on the radio, which is just phenomenal. I love being on the radio. In case you couldn't tell, most of you probably can't see, that guy's just a ham, you know. That's just the way it goes. So welcome to the Paisley Penny Arcade. I love this place. It's so full of weird stuff. I've got some great stuff here. The magic golden orb, it floats mysteriously by itself. If I got close enough, you'd be able to hear the... That's my mouth. But I don't want to get that close, because sometimes it can give a little zap, and we don't want that. The amazing spam can is up there. Yes, it is. It doesn't have spam in it, but it is amazing. That's right. And I've got the flamingo display, and there's Popeye, the sailor. He's up there, too. And Moppy, and... got all sorts of weird stuff in here. I've got a little sarcophagus. Got a big sarcophagus elsewhere in the Paisley Penny Arcade. Life size, as a matter of fact. I know you don't believe me, but it happens to be true. I've got a sarcophagus. Yes, I do. Don't worry. I didn't break any laws or anything. It's legit, and it's okay for me to have. I mean, it's a Paisley Penny Arcade. You have to have curios. You have to have things that people are going to come see. Got the lighthouse in here, and you put the money in, and it makes a lot of noise, and it gets bigger, and people can, it's got the foghorn, and... No, there's no leghorn. Got all sorts of stuff. And, of course, the Sock Monkey Oracle. That's right. The Sock Monkey Oracle. Haven't fired up the Sock Monkey Oracle in a long, long time. I kind of decided I would just talk here in the Paisley Penny Arcade. I mean, I'm here. But I think people kind of said, well, this is all kind of weird. But I'm here. It's here. You know, I've started writing about it. I just started kind of this afternoon and started off writing about the Sock Monkey Oracle, believe it or not, mainly because it's such an interesting thing to write about. It's a long story about the Sock Monkey Oracle. Obviously, the Oracle itself is not the Sock Monkey, but it's a long story. This is going to be a real thing that I'm doing. So there. I just didn't know what else to say. I'm rocking back and forth in my chair, and you may notice you're not hearing the usual. I had to get rid of Squeaky the chair. Squeaky just was no longer doing very well. My back was beginning to ache more than usual. And had to let Squeaky go. I couldn't bear to take it apart. I just couldn't. The original plan was to take Squeaky apart and put it in the trash. Because our trash company won't take anything. If it takes one can, you put things in the can. If the lid is open just a little, they won't pick up the trash, which is, it's like they're terrible in that way. But, they do what you pay them for. So I said, well, I'm going to put Squeaky out on the curb, because I love Squeaky. I mean, I really did love Squeaky. Squeaky was a good and faithful chair. And so I said, I just can't toss Squeaky to the hounds or the wolves or the houndy wolves. So I just left it on the curb and, it was there overnight by itself. And I thought, maybe I should go sit in Squeaky and just, and thought, well, just to make it feel that it's still loved. And even though it had, it was sitting lopsided, and I put a sign on it that said free, and the wind blew the sign off, and it was taped on there pretty good, or someone took the sign off and threw it on my front of the yard, and like, how dare you, the next day, Squeaky was gone. Someone took it, which was what I wanted. I wanted Squeaky to go to a good home, and I don't know if it went to a good home. I'm pretty sure they're not going to take Squeaky and have dogs tear it apart or something. It's pretty good chair, except for the fact that parts of it broke and it squeaks. And I suppose a little oil might have fixed that, oil can, that sort of thing. But, so that's that. Goodbye, Squeaky. And I hope someone gets lovely use out of it and they can fix it up, because I'm no good at that sort of thing. And so I had to put this other chair together. And it's a nice chair. I mean, it's a lot like Squeaky was but about 15 years ago. So hail to the new chair that is much quieter. I'm making all sorts of movements here, and it has a lumbar support, which is awfully nice. So there it is. Mo just spent time. I'm starting to talk like that guy, talks about himself in the third person, but I'm not going to do that. Because already enough of me in my head, so I don't need to add that aspect of it. No, sorry, Bob. So, just speaking of which, have you noticed there are a lot of angry people nowadays? Yep, there's a lot of angry people around. And that's what I'm going to talk about today, about this concept of anger. Now, I suppose anger has its place. That sure seems to be the case anyway. A lot of angry people in the world. And maybe there's reason for that. I get riled. I get piqued. My ire gets irked. But for the most part, well, let me tell you what brought this on. Maybe that'll help. I have a friend. I haven't seen him in a while. We're planning on getting together, having a cup of Java or a soft drink, as it were. It was on the Facebook, and he's interested in magic now, maybe somewhat because of me, my influence in the past. He was kind of into it now. Now, I haven't seen him in a long time, so it's not like I, prodded him along into the magical arts. But he's done his own thing. But he said, talking to a guy, and the guy said, do you no longer believe in science? He said, no, I no longer believe in science. And he went on this kind of a tirade about it. And I like him very much. He's a very smart guy. But he seemed to be kind of angry. And at the end of it, he said something about when science can prove itself, then that's that. And I thought, well, number one, I don't know. Science is just magic that's proven itself, that's been proven. To me, magic is just science that hasn't been proven yet. That's how I look at it. If because I believe in magic completely, and I also believe in something that I've said many, many times and for years, that there is no such thing as the supernatural. If something works, and it works on a consistent basis, then it is natural. That's all there is to it. There's nothing super or supra about it. It just frankly works, and it's scientific. Now, I've been through, you know, people say, oh, that's just ridiculous, and you're just a fool, and now I'm an old fool. But this has been my thing. I mean, I've seen this for a long time. I still maintain that, you know, one of the things that the ancients did is they figured out the Soros cycle, which is the cycle of eclipses. And why did they do that? Well, you know, because did they want it for some sort of amusement cycle? Like, oh yeah, it's far out to kind of see the eclipses. No, they did it because they feared this concept of eclipses. They said, well, no good comes of them, or a lot of good comes of them, one or the other. And I'm thinking that they probably, since there are people today all over the world who equate eclipses with bad happenings, they said, I don't want to be a part of this. I'd rather stay out of them. They may not have fully feared them as much as they kind of said, well, I just would rather, you know, not be present in them. So they figured out how the eclipses worked. They also figured out the cycles of the moon, right? That there was a cycle for the moon that every 19 years, for example, I was born on the full moon in Scorpio. So like within 3 minutes of full, 3 minutes. So it was waxing, right? So you say, all right, so that's that. That's that. So when again would the moon be waxing 3 minutes or so, right? Well, theoretically, maybe not exactly that, but when again would it be, would the moon be full on my birthday? Well, 19 years later, and it was. So when again would that happen? Well, 19 years later when I was 38, and then again when I was 56, and so on and so forth. And so that's another cycle, right? I can't remember what that one's called. It's not the Metatronic cycle. Maybe it is. I can't remember now. And if you don't lose it, you use it, right? So that's something that people say. Actually, I got that backwards. I know that. So the whole point is that we tend to say that these people, you know, they figured this stuff out, and but they used it, they needed it, they wanted it. And so in the beginning we think, well, they were primitive and they wanted it for their psychic beliefs or their occult beliefs or their ritualistic beliefs. But the fact is that it was not for supernatural beliefs, but they had a reason for picking it up. They really wanted to know why. So they made a point of figuring it out. And they did it probably with relatively pedantic, or rather dogmatic, ways of doing so. So they had to watch. They watch. They watch. And Stonehenge is a remarkable tool for figuring these types of things out. Like the swing of the moon, you know, watching the swing of the moon and the swing of the sun and, well, and the ecliptic and blah, 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 blah. So it's a wonderful observatory. Now, there are observatories in Egypt, and there are observatories in India, and there are observatories in Mesoamerica. I mean, it's just a wonderful thing that when you have civilizations that are patient, right? And then we talk about scientists like Galileo, who was taught medical rectification of charts. Now, that's a brilliant thing to teach, basically saying to someone, you can sit down and you can rectify a chart based upon the illnesses that someone has in their life. Imagine that. Now, I've tried doing that. It's not easy, but I've done it. When you say to someone, did you have any major illnesses in your life? And you go down, you can basically doom, boom, 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 boom. You can do that. And it's very, very accurate. You just say, wow, this is really something that you can do. It's basically the most accurate with sidereal astrology, which is what I use. Vedic astrology is a sidereal astrological system. And I've done it like a lot. And it's but I don't do it anymore because it's like, oh my God, why am I going to do this anymore? You know, yeah, it's kind of one of those things. You know what I just did yesterday? I shut down my website. I thought, why am I doing this anymore? You know, why do I have this website? I see no reason to do this, you know. And so I don't have one anymore. I just said goodbye, website. And I've had one for as long as I can remember. I mean, I think it's been probably at least 30 years or even longer. I've got my Facebook page. I'm not going to get rid of that, but I just thought, and I can transfer some of the stuff there, and I don't know even why, but, you know, I just kind of thought, why am I doing this? You know, why am I doing this? It's funny how things change. As you get older, you just go, yep, I don't know why I'm doing this. But astrology is fascinating stuff because you can really kind of pinpoint things. But at the same time, you know, you think, well, why? Why? So Galileo taught the rectification of charts through medicine. He taught that at Pisa, where that Leaning Tower is, you know, kind of fascinating stuff. So he was a scientist, wasn't he? He's revered by scientists to this day for finding the moons of Jupiter and for the optics that he discovered, well, that he worked on, that he improved. And we have Johannes Kepler, whose name is held in high esteem. Johannes Kepler was an astrologer, not just an astronomer, but an astrologer. I mean, this is not Copernicus, who is a huge big deal in astronomy. He was also an astrologer. I go on and on and on, including one of the greatest luminaries of the world of mathematics and physics, and that is Sir Isaac Newton. Sir Isaac Newton was, in fact, an alchemist. An alchemist who spent the last 40 years of his life after he developed the calculus, right? Trying to transmute base metals into gold. And there are many who believe he actually did it. Many. Now, I've mentioned this many times before, that I know a man who supposedly has found the way to transmute base metals into gold. And this is not something that is considered to be impossible. When I spoke to him about it, he said he has done it, and he's not the type of guy to spin a yarn, as they say. He is someone who is as truthful as anyone I've ever met in my life. And I said, why don't you do this and use it to make money? He said, because it's nothing. It is real gold, but it's nothing that the assayers can recognize. It's not gold they've ever seen before. Besides, that wouldn't be right. And I thought, okay, man, I get that. I get that. And like I said, he's not one to, you know, to deal with blarney, as we might say. So there are things going on that are quite possible. And don't kid yourself. I know that there are people who understand this stuff. It's just a different kind of science. It's not one that is necessarily... and I know five people who have seen this happen with their own eyes. And frankly, I trust all of them. One of them is a priest, you know. Two of them are priests. One of them plagiarized me. So, I don't know about him. But the other one did not. So he's a trustworthy sort of guy, you know. It's a strange thing to be plagiarized. It's a strange feeling to be plagiarized. I've been ripped off a lot. Which is flattering, I guess, on the one hand, but you know, when you're scraping, scraping dimes off the pavement out of chewing gum because you're kind of broke, and you know, that's kind of interesting. In our society, we think about people who are penniless, and we say, well, how can they be successful in life if they don't have any backsheesh, you know? And I'm like, well, and I have judged myself from time to time in life as an utter and complete failure because I didn't have any money. A friend of mine yesterday that I was really best friends, more or less, you know, in high school, we were very, very close, met him in the third grade, and we were very, very close. God, he was best man at my first wedding. That didn't stick, but, you know, that's not his fault. We were very good friends, and I haven't seen him in decades, but he went on a grand trip, and he wrote, "We're out of money. Spent every penny of my money, and so it's time to go home." And I thought, wow, I wrote, you know, I've been broke most of my life, but I'm the happiest person I know, so welcome to the club. And I mean it. I am, quite literally, the happiest person I know. But I have indeed been broke about most of my life. And I really attribute that to the fact that I have refused to sell out time and time again. I've had opportunities to lick the boots of society or the establishment time and time again. And I'm just such a rebel, I guess, or just such a... I just haven't done it. I've seen what it does to people. I've known a lot of people who have done it. I've known a lot of rich girls and rich men. Men, not girls, guys, rich boys. I'm not going to say rich girls and then say rich men. That's ridiculous. Rich girls and rich boys. I'm sorry. I'm old. I've had a lot of opportunities to mule like a kitten. Mule like a kitten. And follow suit, and I'm just terrible at it. Maybe I'm just bad at things, you know. Maybe I just don't have what it takes to succeed in this society, in this world. Because a lot of people do. I've had more than one of my students go on and become incredibly wealthy and make just tons and tons and tons and tons of money, you know. I've made a lot of people rich. I have, indeed. I've had ideas that I have seen people who took my ideas and become millionaires, and that's fine. Sure, you sit around, you gripe for a while, and you say, rah, 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 you know. But the truth of the matter is, was I willing to do what they had to do it? No. And if I had followed my mom's path, chosen path for me, yeah, I'd have been, you know. Had I followed my chosen path, I would not be rich. I would be university academic type, but then I would have been maybe pretty miserable because that path is not an easy one. You have to really kind of mule like a kitten, but maybe I would have been pretty happy. I don't know. I'm happy doing what I do. I'm happy living the life I'm leading. I've been happy for a long time. There were times in the past when I wasn't so happy, when I was abjectly kind of miserable, but that had nothing to do with it had to do with a couple of choices I made that maybe weren't the best for me. You know what I'm talking about. I think you get a clue. We make decisions based on the wrong thing. And then you end up being angry. Now, that's what I'm going to get to. So my friend who made that statement on Facebook, he's angry. He's angry, and he's angry for a lot of reasons, some of the reasons that I was angry. And I thought, anger is, first of all, if you're a magician, and magic is a very loosely defined term, and anger is a deficit when it comes to the world of magic, because it is a barrier, it's a cinder block that you carry in your backpack. It's maybe two cinder blocks, because it keeps you from really doing what it is you need to do. It keeps you from moving your energy in a proper way, it stops you from being free. Imagine if you had a cinder block in a backpack, and you're trying to get from point A to point B. You're not free. You can't do what it is you need to do. It's impossible to do it. Anger is rough. And man, we've all had a past. We've all had a past, and we've all had people beat the emotional hell out of us, you know, with an aluminum baseball bat. We've all had someone really tear us apart. We've all been depressed. We've all been sad. You know, we've all been, man, I've been screwed over so many times. I have been stabbed, et tu, Brute. Man, et tu, Brute? Wait a minute, how many Brutes are here? How many Brutes are there in the world? Again? I have to go through this again? I'm a dope. I've mentioned that before. I'm gullible. I am one of the most gullible people that exists. I am. That's just all there is to it. I am incredibly gullible. And I'll admit it, and I'll admit it forever. It's just the way I am. But you know what? It's something about me. It's something about me, you know? I had an old friend that I saw. Last time I saw him, I was 21 years old. They're 2021, and I just saw a picture of him taken 2 years ago, and it made me almost cry. Because last time I saw him, he was, pardon me. He was like a copper penny that was just brand new out of the roll, shiny and bright. Smiles and laughter. He was innocent and warm and a hug, man. He would hug you and you would feel like there was nothing you couldn't do after you saw him. He was just an innocent child. He was like Coco Pelle, you know. He brought music to your life. He brought happiness to you. And what I saw in that picture just truly saddened me. That's what life can do. And I didn't even see anger. I just saw complete sadness, you know? That's another story. He was a bright one. That's another story. Life can really do some stuff to you, but anger? So here's something that happened yesterday. Yesterday I was out in front of my house and I looked down and there was a handful of wood screws, sharp wood screws, right up against my garage door. And I thought, what in the world is this? Now, I didn't put them there. My wife didn't put them there. Someone put these wood screws right in front of my garage door. That's an old dirty trick. That's something you do to someone if you want to give them a flat tire. And I thought, what in the world? Now, we'd been out that day, yesterday. So I immediately raised the garage door and I, you know, got out my pocket flashlight and let there be light. And I looked at the tires and I didn't see any problem. We'd gotten really lucky. I hadn't picked up one of those screws. I picked them up and they weren't ours, that's for sure. Someone had done this. So, you know, we're modern human beings. We've got cameras, and I checked them out. Sure enough, at 4:15 in the morning, and these cameras are kind of worthless, you know. Someone had come in and parked out in the middle of the street, didn't catch the person coming in and dropping the screws, but at 4:15 in the morning, someone had come out and dropped these screws. And I thought, now who in the world is so angry at me that they would drop screws in my, at the front of my garage to flatten my tires? That's just an old, dirty trick. And I had one, you know, possibility. And I immediately was filled with wonder. Like, who would do? Why would? I mean, the person who might have done it, someone that would be 10 years old. That's the old revenge is best served cold sort of person, you know? And he would do something like that. That's just the type of person that he is. And I was filled with just kind of a sort of a disgust, not anger, just like, why would someone hold on to something like that? And sometimes that person works an early shift. And I thought, oh, come on. That's like completely no, don't. And I wasn't filled with anger as much as I was just filled with sadness. And I thought that someone can hold on to anger that long. Now, there's a sadness there for that person. But also, it's like, really? Really? Unbelievable, you know? But it's possible. But I'm also thinking, well, that's kind of weird. That's where we are in the world, that people hold on to. And so I've got to be careful. I mean, I've got to check things, right? And make sure that. But that just adds a level of, like, what in the world? What in the world? That's just a dirty trick. I mean, this same, if it's the same person, but someone, and I know this person did this, put super glue in the lock of my shed, you know? That's just a dirty trick. It's just, you know, and it was mainly a ethnic thing. Didn't like my, and I'm like, what? You know, people can do things like that. We're living in a world of anger right now. So didn't have to be anything, you know, particular. And I'm not saying that this same person did that or did the first thing or anything else. It's just an example of what people can be moved to do because of anger. Now, here's the point. Anger is not good for you. Anger, and boy, was I angry at the time. I mean, back then, oh my goodness, I was angry. You know, I called the police, they came out, and they said, oh, you can't prove anything. And I said, but I know it. You can't say to the police, by the way, I'm intuitive. And the tarot card said, you can't say that. You know why? Because they don't care. They don't believe you. And honestly, why would they? You know? But the point is that anger is a gnawing thing. It eats at you from the inside out. And it's just not good for you, right? So you and I know that Johannes Kepler was an astrologer. You and I know that Isaac Newton was an alchemist. But scientists don't care. They don't care that they were this. Pardon me. My allergies are over the roof. Oh my God, it's just unbelievable. We have a locust tree in the backyard that is dropping this stuff. And it's like, oh, please stop. Please stop. It'll stop when it's ready. But I'm alive. And it means I've got a good immune system. So thank you, immune system. Thank you, locust, for reminding me of it. So what anger does, it's like you're constantly fighting yourself. It's like an irritant, especially now with politics the way they are, especially now with everything that's going on the way it is. It gets in the way, that cement block. And I'm really amazed, and conspiracy theories are, to a certain extent, anger. It's what they are. They're a form of anger. Conspiracy theories are, in fact, there's not a one of them I've ever heard that isn't based in some sort of anger. Have you heard about those three Masons? Those, what? Three Masons? No, Freemasons. I said Three Masons. Three Masons walk into a bar. Pardon me, I'm going to have a little sip here. Thank you. Those Three Masons. Yeah. But there's always, in any conspiracy theory, there's anger involved, you see? And that's why I don't subscribe to them. Not, most of them are just kind of, cuckoo, 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 you know. By the way, I have a friend. He's a horologist. Now, wait a minute. Don't go there. Horologists are clockmakers. Yes, clockmakers. And he is a clockmaker. He can actually make any part of any clock, including springs and things like that. I think he's kind of retired now. But reminds me, I need to FaceTime with him. I haven't seen him in a long time. But he's a good guy, real good guy. But he has an entire, like, hundreds of cuckoo clock bellows, cuckoos. Yeah. I always wanted one of those, but he said, I never know when I need one. I'm thinking, God, you don't need 400 cuckoo clock bellows, do you? You know, I just always thought it'd be cool to have one of those, you know. And believe me, if I had one, you would have heard it as a sound effect on this show more than once. That's for sure. I mean, you know, there are many things that need to be done. That's one of them. That's not a bellows from a cuckoo clock. It shows who I am. I am cuckoo, but that's a different story. So, I don't know. I think the point is that I feel sorry for this guy who wants to go on. And the problem is, you know, Aleister Crowley, famously one of the most learned magicians in the 20th and the 19th century. He spanned those centuries. He really became proficient, powerful, in my opinion, in the 20th century. And quite a guy. But he was, I think, hobbled. And maybe not. I never knew him, of course. He died in 47. I was born 7 years later. And he had a lot of anger, possibly because he was maligned constantly, possibly because he got in some issues that were highly suspect. Possibly because he, you know, a lot of things going on. But anger was certainly one of the things. He sued a lady who truly maligned him. Long story, but there was a lot of anger. A lot of anger. I've been. And maybe again, who knows? You don't know. I mean, people say things out of, you know, whatever reason they say things. I had a student once whom I liked very much. And I gave a class once and she got out of the car and was walking into the class, and I was so glad to see her. And I said, "Hey, how are you doing?" And she said, "Great, great." And she looked at me and she said, "You know, I'm never ever going to refer anyone to you again." And I was taken quite aback, you know, by that. Because in the past, she had referred people to me for readings. And I was, you know, kind of like, "Oh, what did I do? Did I do something wrong?" And she said, "No, but I'm doing readings now. And there's not enough room in town for both of us." And I expected her to, you know, put her hand on her hip and say, "Draw." And I was like, totally, I was like, "Wait a minute. That's just," I said, "There's like 1.5 million people in this town. I think there's enough people." But I said, "Okay, I understand that." And she said it, and she wasn't kidding. There was not a smile or anything else. And I said, okay, I understand that. And I said, thank you for all the people you've referred to me so far. And she said, yeah, but it ends. And she was angry. And she had a look of, and yet she was coming to a class I was teaching. And I said, okay, well, come on in. I'm glad to have you. And it was a free class. yeah. So, but I'm just saying, people do strange things. People have really kind of just odd ideas about things. And I think that's okay. To me, that's okay. But I think it would be better if they got rid of them. So how do we get rid of this anger? Do I still get irked? Oh, sure. I think I've told you all that I've tried to give up cursing. It still pops out from time to time. I still, you know, let out a word or two that I'm like, oh, you know, curse it all. I'm really trying to work on that. But there are times when something happens and it's so fast, it's like the speed of sound, quite literally, you know, and I think I'm really working hard on this because it happens to be a part of the entire chain. And it's fine. I've discovered that when you stop cursing, your whole world changes. At least it has for me. My whole world has changed. The Queen Mother of curse words, as they say in Christmas Story, hasn't come out of my mouth in a long time. But there are lesser words, you know, that pop out at you know, just when something, like, you know, if you hit your thumb or something, or, you know, you drop something you didn't mean to, and it's like I'm really working on that. But what I'm doing is rewiring my brain. And other people, I don't care if they do it or not. It's not about them. It's about me. And I'm really trying to get rid of the anger that I have, that I've had for most of my life, because most of it is based upon pain from the past. Now, I'm one to say, don't forget the past. Use it, you know, remember it, because it's who you are, and allow it to benefit you, allow it to help you to create who you want to be. I believe in this. But anger, holding on to anger, is like, you know, grabbing onto a pot from the stove and saying, oh my God, this is really hot. And just keeping holding it. My God, this is hot. This is burning my flesh. And just hanging on to it. My God, I think I'm getting a third degree burn now, you know. There's no reason to do that. Acknowledge it and then use it in whatever way you want to. But then let go of it. This is what I'm really working on in my world. And anger, if you're trying to do something magically, if you're trying to do something productively, anger is any way to live. I don't want to be angry anymore. I don't want to be angry anymore. It feels really good to say. You know, I don't want to be angry at my ex-wife anymore. I love my children, and I love my grandchildren. You know what my kids gave me for an early Father's Day present? You know those pop heads, I think? I don't know what they are. They're these little dolls with these gigantic heads. And my daughter got online and designed these little dolls. They're very popular. They make some like Jerry Garcia, and they're now collector's items and stuff. But she made two of these dolls. I'm looking at them, that look just like my son and daughter. It's unbelievable. I love them. I absolutely love them. They're incredible. They look just like them. It's amazing. And I have them right in front of a picture I have, one of my favorite pictures on the planet, of me with my arms around my son and daughter, taken a long time ago. But they still look the same to me, you know. I love my kids. And without my ex-wife, I wouldn't have my kids. So, yeah, there was a lot of water under that bridge. but it's water that I created. You know, I married her. I pursued her, and I married her, and I loved her at one time, you know, deeply, deeply, deeply. And so you can't have anger like that without love. And so there were benefits there, you know. And I'm tired of anger. And I'm looking at the people today in this country and in the world and the horrors going on, which breaks my heart every day. And there's so much anger. And I wish that we could find a way to dissolve all of this anger. And instead of having it and the blame, oh my God, of course there are people to blame. And what's happening in Ukraine and the Russians and what's happening, the civil rights and, you know, violations all over the world and in Sudan and in China and in, oh my God. You know. And there are times when you really should be angry. And we have to be, but instead of anger, can we turn it into action? Can we turn it into something else? I wrote in my Power Peak last week, and I was a bit political, you know? And maybe some people got angry at me. Maybe that's why someone threw screws in front of my driveway. They said, this wise ass, you know, this big mouth, he's talking about, you know, Trump and talking bad, and I'll show him. You know, let's see what a flat tire is going to make him think. And if that's the case, then too bad. I really am not trying to make people angry. What I'm trying to do is say, pick a side and stick with it. But don't get angry at someone who says something different than what you might like. Instead, you act and go forward with. See, that's the problem. We live in a country where people are attacking people who may say something they don't like. And that is, quite frankly, anti-American. That's right. That's against being what this country stands for. And that is freedom of speech, you know? In 1967, when the Seven-Day War broke out, we got death threats. My family, because we're Egyptians. In 81, I think it was, or somewhere around there, 80, when, yeah, 80, 81, when Ronald Reagan became president, no, it was before that. When the Iran hostage thing happened, I got death threats. 10 a day. 10 a day. Had to get an unlisted phone number. Because, we had the FBI tapped my phone and started arresting people who called me threatening to kill me. I mean, that's terrible, you know? It was really rough. You say, how can we be this way? You know, that's not good. These are the types of things that can happen. And that is not what we're supposed to be. But people get angry, you know? People get angry. We really are. Anger is so, and what it does is that, yeah, people get angry, but it also tears them apart. There's a lovely line that Richard Wilhelm writes in the I Ching. I've mentioned this 1,000 times, that hatred binds with chains the hater to that which he despises. I love that. I'm paraphrasing because it is so true. The person you hate doesn't know it. It doesn't affect that person, ultimately. Really doesn't. It's so what? They don't know it, but boy, you sure do. It gnaws at you from the inside out. It's like a disease that eats you alive. Hatred. And it keeps you from doing other things that are productive. It keeps you from moving. It expands inside of you. It expands inside of you like that foam that you use to insulate a house. You know? You put it in a little nook or cranny and whoop, you know. Now, I asked earlier, how do you get rid of it? It's not easy, is it? It's not simple, is it? I was angry as a kid. I was so angry as a kid because I didn't think that life was fair. I certainly didn't think my life was fair. I didn't think it was fair in high school when I discovered that when I ran for student body president, and I've discovered that I had won, but I was not allowed to be the president. They took it away from me. I didn't think I was fair. And so that put me on a path to something different. I decided, what is the use of being a good kid? It changed my life. Not for the worse, probably, but it changed my life. I have had a life of not fair. I've been blessed, though, because not one thing that I've gone through I consider to be negative, really. I've been very blessed. I've enjoyed my life very much. And I've ended up doing the things that I've always thought I wanted to do. Tarot and astrology and meeting the people I've met. I have been in some very dangerous situations and I've survived. Talk about being blessed. You know, talk about. No doubt about it. So, when it really comes down to it, it pays to be happy. And it pays to release the anger and just realize that anger is better off on someone else. Let them be angry. And if you can help them to release their anger, sometimes you can't. There are people who embrace it. You know, there are people who just wear it like jewelry. There are people who embrace angry subjects. I like to think happy thoughts. I'm happy. I'm a happy man, and I've been a happy man for a long time. I tend to shy away from people who embrace the darkness, who embrace the anger. This poor friend of mine who wrote on Facebook, I thought, oh, man, I don't know if I can. It's not my job to help him, but I have to try. I think he'd be happier, but maybe he doesn't want to be yet. You know? Tomorrow is June 6th, the 80th anniversary of D-Day. The 80th anniversary of D-Day. Which is amazing, you know? It's really amazing. Because when I was born, it was the 10th anniversary of D-Day. But so many people perished, you know? So it's that, and it needs to be noted. Tomorrow's also International Yo-Yo Day, because it's the birthday of Donald Duncan Sr. I met Donald Duncan Jr., one of the sweetest, kindest men I ever met. Nice guy. I'm sure he's gone by now. I met him a long time ago, about 40 years ago. But what a kind gentleman, real gentleman. He and his wife both. Donna, I think was her. Yeah, Donna. You know, amazing, imagine that. Don and Donna. He was a sweet guy. So, I'll celebrate that too, you know. But I like to look at the light. I like to look at what's positive. I'm not always joined in that. I'm not always, but it's how I choose to live my life. So, if you can, try not to carry anger around. Don't carry around the cinder block. It's a lot to carry. All you have to do is stop yourself and think, okay, let it go. Just whew, let it go. Take a breath and think, okay, I'm letting it go. Let go of the anger. In traffic, talking to somebody, if you live with someone who tries to elicit an angry response from you or has an angry response to something, just try and let it go, okay? You'll live longer, probably. You'll be happier, I guarantee. Till next week, Mo Abdelbaki wishing you peace and love. Bye.
Until next we meet, I'll be waiting for you right here in the Paisley Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Paisley Penny Arcade. I am Mo Abdelbaki, and today is Wednesday, the 12th of July. July, yeah, 2023. Oh, the year is just speeding by, isn't it? Isn't it? Already the 7th month of the 23rd year of the 21st century. And to think just a moment ago I was in Mrs. Parsons' fifth grade class at Laurel Elementary in Fort Collins, Colorado. Okay, go ahead, those of you listening who want to steal my identity. I won't get you that far. And now that's been a challenge. And they'll go, yes, yes, I can do everything. Well, go ahead. I mean, really, it's the world today. Oh, the world today. Isn't it a sorry place? It's not that bad. It's weird. A lot of strange goings on. There are good people left in the world. There are good people left in the world, which was proven to me recently. Thank you again. You know who I'm talking to. So, what should we talk about today? How's the weather been? How are you feeling? How has your weather been? Wow. To those of you in Vermont, and I know that there are a couple of listeners in Vermont, Montpelier, and Vermont is a destination place. It's a destination state where people go to, like Colorado. People come to Colorado to see the mountains and to, you know, buy rock candy because we have lots of mountains and lots of rocks, and they make candy that looks like rocks. And it's good. We have saltwater taffy in Estes Park, and of course, I'm not sure what that has to do with the mountains, but it's pretty good stuff. And in Montpelier, Vermont, they have flooding. And that's, Vermont is the same sort of thing. A lot of tourism. And this is the most popular time of year to be there. And so, what are they going to do? Because the flooding has been horrible. Montpelier is underwater right now. And of course, in many parts of the country, it is so incredibly hot that it's just crazy hot. And that's the only way to put it. 120 degrees. They're talking about 125